As we all know that. Tackles for losses, you know, they're all over him. And you know what's ironic? You know what's funny to me? Is last year, last summer, we argued, and I was on Team BA, Brandon Ayuk, get your money, player, that they needed a wide receiver. And, you know, there's a lot of talk from fans, from a lot of people. Yeah, you can put your hand down, Shasky. We know you. We know. But you got the flip-flops. So, you know, you pivot, don't panic, and you change with the way to win. You can change an opinion in an hour. We all know that. But so now it's just ironic that everybody is talking about wide receiver. Oh, my God, we don't have a top-flight wide receiver. When all last summer, you told me on these airways that they didn't need a top-flight. They didn't need a top-flight wide receiver. So
they also had Debo at that time. I do think they're going to miss Debo. Look, for all the things Debo isn't, he does make a lot. If you go back and watch over the last 2 years, he makes a lot of big contested catches in the intermediate part of the field. He plays tougher and bigger than his stature. And I know he would drive people crazy with the drops and stuff. He made a lot of big up-in-the-air catches for his height and size.
High-pointing the ball and everything like that. So, yeah, the offensive line got worked without Trent Williams early in that period. Now, they did some things better later on in the practice. They moved the ball a little bit. Kittle looked good. McCaffrey, I think, was a big takeaway. McCaffrey looks like McCaffrey. Now, there wasn't much room to operate in the run game, but coming out of the backfield, the hands are still there. He's still running good routes. So, look, Denver, let's be real. My big takeaway was Denver's going to be a problem in the AFC this season. Sean Payton and Vance Joseph got the boys ready to roll, and the intensity level that they came out of Levi Stadium with. I mean, DJ Jones, Hufanga. I mean, who was it, number?
Zach Allen, 99.
Zach Allen was unbelievable. No, this number 15, Nick Benito.
Benito,
he made a play on the first play. He smacked somebody. It started dancing. I was like, damn. And then you got Patrick Surtain, who's so smooth at the cornerback spot. That Denver defense has a Super Bowl caliber defense. Now, we got to see about the offense, but that defense is going to be a top five defense all season long. So that's good work for the 49ers to go against.
Well, and you look at it too, right? They didn't even have Drake Greenlaw out there. Like that guy that was the heart and soul, you could argue, for the Niners defense these last couple seasons. You saw Hufanga out there. You know that felt good for him. And you heard a lot of chirping from another former Niner, one DJ Jones, Bonte, who was talking that talk, talking that smack. And he was excited. It was fun. It felt like one team came away happy yesterday and the other team was not.
Well, the Niners were a little happy. I'm not going to lie, because they moved the ball a little bit better. And on the other side, hearing about the defense, where Nick Bosa dominated relentlessly, if Fred Warner and D. Winters looked like a good linebacker tandem, the Niners, look, even though if you say on the scoreboard the Broncos got the better hand, that's good work for the Niners to work off of. It's good film to say, okay, this is what we need to correct. For those rookies on the defensive line who are trying to, you know, they're not there yet. Alfred Collins, CJ West,
was really impressed Williams. With Collins yesterday.
Collins, that was his best practice at training camp.
So because like I've been hearing that, hey, he's really upright and he gets no push. I thought he looked great yesterday. I mean, again, we're talking about 4 or 5 drills, but I thought he looked really good.
No, he did. No, he's getting better and better by the day. He's using his leverage. He's not going to be a pass rusher. He's going to be a two-down specialist, play against a run game, plug those gaps in a wide nine scheme. So he looked better. But you know what? The defensive line is hurting right now. Their depth is being tested. Bryce Huff had to play a lot of snaps yesterday. So I think the takeaway is you don't hang your head over a joint practice on August 7th. But what you do, Spadoni and Shasky, is you take the film and say, okay, we got some things to clean up here at the wide receiver spot, on the offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. That is good work for the 49ers going against a team like that that's buttoned up with the championship head coach, Sean Payton.
There's no, you don't lose in the practice. Like, there's no winners and losers. The only way you do lose, honestly, or hurt yourself before the season starts, if you lose a player.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And you saw that with the Chargers yesterday, Rashawn Slater, out for the season, torn patellar tendon. That sucks for them. Like, that is how you could lose before the season starts, with devastating injuries, right? Thankfully, there wasn't a devastating injury yesterday with the first-round pick, Mykal Williams, out of Georgia. But he did get hurt, and that sucks that he's going to miss the first preseason game tomorrow. But again, they're calling it a week. Hopefully, he can come back next week, Bonte. Another joint practice with the Raiders out in Nevada, and he could play in that preseason game too, because that's what you don't want. That's what sucked about, and obviously, Ricky Pearsall's one was so damn unique because he got shot. But the fact that he missed all that time, and he had to play catch-up when he did come back, like, that's what I don't want with some of these rookies, right? Getting hurt. He saw Jordan James break his finger, right? And get surgery on, he's going to be out for a couple weeks. Like, that's what you don't want. It's the only thing you can't come away with these like a couple weeks. But they're injuries, right? Like, that happens.
It's football, right? But the Niners have been one of the most injured teams over the last 6 years. When you look at the stats here, they miss guys. Guys get hurt. I mean, I get it. It's a physical game, and they play a physical brand of football here. So, Mykel Williams, we all watch it. It looked like a non-contact injury. I grabbed the binoculars. I was like, yo, who's down over there? And it happened to be Mykel Williams. Shanahan said after the practice, hyperextended knee. The exam looked good. He's going to miss a week, but he needs to work. Jordan James, to me, is the most disappointing rookie right now because everybody had high hopes for this guy out of Oregon. And you hear people tweeting left and right when there was no shoulder pass. Oh, Jordan James this, and Jordan James that. Well, he comes up with a knee injury, and he misses about a week or two. And then he comes back a few practices later. He breaks a finger. Now he has another. Now he's going to be out another few weeks.
That's
so
the Garendo zone.
The Garendo zone. So Garendo's had a bunch of injuries. So the running back depth, to me, is a lot more concerning right now than the defensive line depth, because I think the defensive line will come together. Sam Okwuanu will be back in a couple weeks. I think Mykel will be back in a week and a half. They'll play it slow. Again, it's August 8th right now. You don't need to rush him back. You want him to get the reps. You want him to go against some other teams like the Broncos, like the Raiders, like the Chargers a little bit later in the preseason. But it is alarming. These injuries are starting to mount up here. And at wide receiver, they're mounting up. At running back, they're mounting up, and on the defensive line. So you need to clean that up here moving forward.
So we were doing like the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And just like layering some of the stuff. And I had way more good than I did bad or ugly, even though, you know, Denver was suffocating yesterday. Yep. Jordan Watkins is an interesting player.
Oh, yeah.
He plays stronger than his body type. I like him. He's very shifty. Not as quick as Pearsall, but a little, I don't want to say tougher. He's just stronger over the middle on some of that stuff. Do you think he's a guy in this game on Saturday that's going to really impress fans?
I think so. I like this film coming out of Ole Miss. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
I think he hasn't been talked about enough, Jordan Watkins. And he's made plays, and he's gotten better as training camp has come along. And the thing about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Shasky, is that he runs a pro-style system.
And he's a great scout, like a recruiter.
He knows talent. It's why Lane Kiffin was sought after in the NFL for so many years and why he's bounced around in college. Jordan Watkins understands a pro game. He understands pro concepts. So it's an easy transition for him coming into Shanahan's system. I'm not going to say easy because it's always challenging going from college to pro. But some of those pro principles, he learned at Ole Miss. So you start to see it translate right now. He may be your punt returner, which if he has to play wide receiver a lot in the first 3 weeks due to DeMarcus Robinson being suspended, that kind of concerns me there. You got to find a punt returner.
I like Bergen's.
Watkins is getting better. Bergen, he's had a tough camp.
Well, see, I just saw yesterday. He caught everything. And that's what I was looking for. Like, do you look decisive and do you catch everything? He's just so small.
Small. I mean, and he hadn't been catching everything in practice. He's dropping a lot.
I've only seen one day.
Yeah, he was dropping a lot. I don't know about him, but you know what? Jordan Watkins could play. And look, the key is at wide receiver, obviously, Juwan Jennings in a calf. When is he going to come back? But in the second half of the season, where are their 49ers going to be at? And where is Brendan Ayuk going to
So it's funny you bring
because
him up.
People forgot how good Brendan Ayuk was in 2023. I'll die on that hill.
There's an image that I can't get over in my head. It's Trent Williams yucking it up with the uniform on. And I get he's way older. Like, I understand all that. Him yucking it up with all the Bronco guys, like, it was weird. They were like clowning the Niners, and he was like kind of playing into it. And then Ayuk off to the side, standing there, staring at the field, just dying to get out there. And I was like, damn, dude, like, I underrated the compete level on someone like Brandon Ayuk. The last few training camps before the holdout last year, he wasn't just good. He was the best player on the field.
Yeah.
He was the best player on the field. They miss him so much.
Which is why the rhetoric and the dialogue about Brandon Ayuk last summer was just nasty. It was nasty work by a lot of people. Didn't admit, oh, he's about himself. He's this, he's that. This guy's been at every practice and every single drill where some people think, like, yo, it's borderline. What if the NFL came and said, hey, Brendan Ayuk can't be out here because he's trying to coach these guys up. He's out there, John. He's really desperate to get back out there. And then one thing about the compete level, you could always tell when a wide receiver competes at a high level. It's not when they're running their routes knowing the ball is going to go to them in the pass game. It's in a run game.
Yeah.
And all those, look at a lot of those Chris McCaffrey runs in 2023. Who's downfield blocking like Jerry Rice, like John Taylor, like Terrell Owens? It was Brandon Ayuk getting his nose dirty, pummeling DBs into the turf while McCaffrey goes 75 yards for a touchdown. So the competitor of Brandon Ayuk, you know, where's he going to be at? Because you don't want to put a lot on his plate coming back from that devastating injury. Right. I heard a knee is nasty the way he injured it. But if he could come back and he could be 90% of the player he was in 2023. Think about the boost he'd get this offense
when?
In the second half of the season.
Yeah. Week 10?
Week 11? I was hearing mid to late October.
Well, so week four, they play, he would be activated off the PUP. Earliest, they play that Thursday. Yeah. That's their week five game. What do you think, six, seven, eight?
I was told mid to late October.
Wow.
That's what I was told.
Falcons, Texans.
That would change the season.
That would be unbelievable. And then think about
that would change the season.
Now all of a sudden, Pearsall slots.
He's a two. He's not a receiver. One.
Exactly. And that's fine.
No doubt.
Pearsall's going to make
plays.
He
needs another year in the weight room for his upper body. Because when you get your hands on him at the line of scrimmage, he can kind of get slowed down.
No doubt. But he could slot into two. You still got Juwan Jennings, who's going to be third, and Juwan, a big body target who Brock Purdy trusts. And then you see George Kittle yesterday. George Kittle looked ready to roll.
He looks unbelievable.
I don't need to see any more of George Kittle. Like, quite frankly, I think he's poised for a back-to-back All-Pro season.
Go home, George Kittle. Right? I'll see you in Seattle.
I don't need to see him. As that's Bonta Hill, who joins us every single Friday.
I'll see you in Seattle.
In studio, 9 o'clock, host of Warriors and Giants pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports Bay Area. And Bonta joins us in studio, of course, courtesy of River Islands. And all those passes being thrown and completed by the two quarterbacks yesterday. And obviously, you had Carter Bradley, the third guy. But Brock Purdy, Mac Jones. What did you see from the quarterbacks yesterday, Bonta?
Well, Brock struggled against especially in that first team period against the Broncos. I mean,
O-line got collapsed.
He dropped back, and it was like, oh, there's DJ Jones. Oh, there's Zach Allen. There's Bodino. They were chirping, and DJ Jones is yelling, that's a sack.
They were clowning the Niners.
Look, Brock Purdy, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine as long as the protection holds up. He's got the weapons. You know, what is fine? I know people want top five quarterback or whatnot. Just play. Just run the offense. Don't make mistakes. Now, Mac Jones, who's not really playing against the ones. He's playing against the twos and threes. But Mac Jones is having a hell of a camp. He really is. I mean, he throws a tight spiral. He lets it fly. He's been decisive. His anticipation on routes, those intermediate routes, has been really good in his camp. Mac Jones is growing. So, if Mac Jones has to play in case something happens to Brock Purdy, he could win you a game or two. But Brock Purdy, I think, look, he threw some balls with some zip. He threw some balls that was getting his wide receivers killed. That Broncos defense made Brock Purdy look ordinary yesterday. But again, as the day went along, and they ran 2 minutes, they ran moon the ball drills, Brock Purdy turned into Brock Purdy.
The throw to Pearsall was an unbelievable throw. A good throw. It was an unbelievable throw.
He's fine. He's going to be the starting quarterback. So I don't know if there been a controversy.
No.
You guys are looking at me like there's a Mac Jones.
Not at all.
Debate. It's the conversation, and I do think if Brock, not that he's going to have an MVP caliber season, if he does, that'd be insane, right? But more so of last year, how does he improve as a quarterback when the talent isn't really there around him right now? I don't know what to make of Juwan Jennings. By the way, was Juwan Jennings kind of a winner yesterday if the wide receivers were struggling and he wasn't out there? When it comes to his negotiations, now there's all, is it the calf? Is it the hold in? Is the hold out? No one really knows for sure. But I'll say this, when it comes to Brock Purdy, I think he could shut up a lot of people this year if he does go out there and ball out. Because everyone wants to say, oh, he was a product of Christian McCaffrey. Oh, he's a product of, you had Debo, you had Ayuk, you have Kyle Shanahan, all this. It's like, he's the highest paid player on the team right now. And I'm looking at Brock in an NFC that's really Matt Stafford's the best quarterback, maybe. Jaden Daniels. It's wide open for the quarterback play.
What about Jalen Hurts?
Baker.
Well, I go Jalen Hurts, and I agree with you there. Everyone wants to laugh at him and bring him down.
And
it's Saquon. He won the Super Bowl. He's been to two. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes.
He's looked really good in two Super Bowls.
I thought he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in both those Super Bowls. I know Mahomes won the first one outside of that fumble that he dropped, and it was a big one in that first Super Bowl. He was dynamic and he was special. So I'm always in on Jalen Hurts. You know me, Bonta.
Right.
But outside of him, people usually go to Stafford, right? With the arm talent and everything. He's getting older, though.
I don't know.
It's open, though. The quarterback play in the NFC, I'm very curious to see how it's going to look. Within the division, too. I do think Brock has a chance to come away from this season as we look at him as the best quarterback in said division.
I mean,
you don't care about that. I know.
I don't care about that because where are the Niners at? The Niners are 12-5 and going to the NFC title game. I don't care if Brock throws for 2,000 or 4,000 yards. I really don't. I just think he jumped the shark on who's the best quarterback. Who's the best team? You know, quarterbacks aren't playing against each other. They're not playing against
teams.
It's 11-11.
Usually the best teams are the best quarterbacks. That's why we talk about it.
Usually the best defense. Usually the best defensive line. Usually the best offensive line. Usually the best running game. All those components come into play when you got 53 men on a roster. Yes, you need very good quarterback play. There's no doubt you need quarterback play. And I think Brock Purdy, he's shown us. He's had some ups in the playoffs. He's had some downs in the playoffs. But he's gone to two NFC Championship games. He played at a high level. Coming back from Detroit in that environment.
Detroit's a great example of a team that the offense was prolific and the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Couldn't stop a nosebleed.
And that's why they lost.
Exactly.
I mean, I also look at Jared Goff, and again, that's a conversation for another time.
They had nobody on defense last year.
Daniels dropped 45 on them.
I mean, they had nobody. Okay,
you guys are Jared Goff truthers. That's fine. That's great.
He was really good last year. He was good.
Jared Goff had a perfect game on Monday Night.
We all knew they weren't going to win at all those defensive guys going down.
I don't care if Brady in his prime was quarterbacking that Detroit team. You couldn't name a defensive lineman.
I'll say this in regards to, we're talking about Brock Purdy, we're talking about quarterback play, talking about all of it. Would your expectations feel different if you switched the quarterbacks yesterday? Let's say if you switched them on their teams.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Would my expectation? No. About the same.
Do you think Bo Nix and Brock Purdy are about the same?
You think Bo Nix is better?
No. I think Brock Purdy's better than Bo Nix.
Brock's got the better resume. Let's see how Bo Nix plays this year.
I think a lot of people and are coming away saying, like, I'd rather have Bo Nix than Brock Purdy. People are really high on Bo Nix right now.
He's Bo Nix. He was in the playoffs last year. He has Sean Payton as his head coach, and he has Cortland Sutton. He has Troy Franklin. He has Mims. He has Evan Engram at tight end. He has a stable of running backs and J.K. Dobbins and his guy Harvey that they're raving about in a Mile High City. Bo Nix is fine, but would the expectations change? No, because look at the pieces around him. You got to have pieces around. Tom Brady, I heard Shasky yesterday, and he's so right. This is why I didn't want Tom Brady, because I thought he was washed. But he was throwing to Kimbrell Tompkins
and made the playoffs still. Well, got it.
And lost in a wild card.
It doesn't matter. They made the playoffs
because the AFC East sucked. Buffalo sucked.
Is this division outside of the Rams? And if they have Jimmy Garoppolo head coach as the quarterback?
Seattle won 10 games last year. If Darnold doesn't go a
Let's see.
If Darnold threw a game-winning touchdown as clock is expiring, they would have won 11 and won the division, and the Rams would have not made the playoffs with 10 wins.
I'm very curious to see
I'm not here. I'm not a Darnold truther. Seattle was really good last year. They've got a different team. They traded DK away. Darnold threw 36 touchdowns last year. Again, I'm not a Darnold truther. He had a great year.
He did. The season is only going to go as far as Brock Purdy takes them, is all I'm saying.
You think so?
Absolutely. Right. That's not even a hot take.
Has to carry this team?
I think at times he will. Number one right now is Ricky Pearsall, who has a cup of coffee in the league, and Juwan Jennings, who, God bless the guy, let's see him do it again. Wow. He's got a calf injury already.
I think they go as their defense goes this season. Okay. And the offense is supposed to...
Run game, too.
The run game has to be solid. McCaffrey has to be McCaffrey. Run game has to be
red
solid.
Red zone is so important.
The red zone, they went from first to middle of the pack, and really they climbed up to 14 because of the last 2 weeks. They have to score touchdowns in the red area. There's no doubt about that's the difference in championship teams and teams that are on the outside looking in. You got to convert in the red zone, but also this defensive line. Teams are gashing them in a run game last year.
Yeah, it was bad.
Setting up second and two, setting up third and one, setting up second and three. And so when you got the down the distance in your advantage as an opposing offense, and you get a guy like Sean Payton, for example. Oh, I'm getting 8 yards on first down in the run game? Oh, I could go play pass on second and two and throw a bomb? Okay, if I don't convert it, I go back to the run game. I've got Bo Nix who could scramble. That gives teams. So that defensive line as well, which is why they went out and drafted three defensive linemen in Mykal Williams, Alfred Collins, and C.J. West, and signed Bryce or traded for Bryce Huff because they need to stop the run.
Bryce Huff, I didn't see him yesterday. I was looking for him. He has a single-digit number on the line.
Number 47.
Oh, he was 47. I was looking for someone said he was number, six or nine.
No, he's number 47.
Okay, so I didn't see him yesterday. Maybe I screwed up. How's he looked?
He's looked good in practice. I mean, he's going to be a wide nine third down specialist. Okay. Coming off the edge with his spin. He's got a mean spin move. Obviously, Robert Saleh loves him. I thought Sam Okwuanu, who got hurt, was having a really good training camp as
91 from last year.
91 from last year. He makes some plays. So a third down specialist, can he come off that edge with speed and put pressure on the quarterback and compliment Nick Bosa? Bryce Huff's had a decent camp.
Okay,
he's
good.
Had a good camp.
I watched the Mykal Williams. Again, we're talking about 5-6 reps. Total right. For these guys. But I'm watching Mykal Williams on the inside line up over the guard in the center. He looked really good. Yep. Then he went to the outside. He got kind of stood up a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, maybe that's not a strength right now. Watched Alfred Collins. Thought he looked really good going over guards and centers. And then C.J. West is just a tank.
He's a tank. C.J. West.
He's really good.
I mean, that's, big boy. So I always think that I see C.J. West, I think D.J. Jones. And D.J. Jones apparently told Matt Maiocco yesterday, they still try to replace me. They got that young buck over there. They're still trying to replace
me. He reminded me of Ian Williams.
Ian Williams, I like that.
Because Ian Williams was strong and and I feel like we never saw the best of him. And he was really good. I know we forgot. Like, he was so promising, Ian Williams. I don't know. Maybe I'm overrating
him. C.J. West is, you know, right now he's on the third string, second string, third string. But he's going to play. He's going to get some snaps with these injuries that are happening now in camp. And Mikal, you're right. On third down, if you go huff, both on the outside.
Yeah.
You slide Mikal in on third down. And then that other defensive tackle spot is wide open on who could rush the passer on third
Givens.
Down. Could be Givens. Who just
Jordan Elliott?
Who just somebody went down with a torn pec.
Oh.
I think that was Givens who went down with a torn pec.
Oh, did he go down with a
I forgot. I got to double check.
I had a guy 93 that I had wrote down I thought looked okay in those drills, but I didn't have my roster in front of me. But 93 I thought was making some plays.
No, so the defensive line's gotta be solid. But I think one thing that Niner fans could breathe easy about is D. Winters is having a fantastic camp.
And
D. Winters is going to start. But keep your eye on Nick Martin, the rookie out of Oklahoma State. He's fast, man. He gets sideline to sideline. Fab. Who's 45? One day I was looking, who the hell is that?
Not Demetrius Flanagan Files.
Or definitely not Oren Burks.
Oh, my God.
Watch back the first five games. DFF just falls in space. Just falls.
I never got the hype.
By the way, was it Demetrius or was it Dominic Flanagan?
Yeah, Givens with the pec injury. So Givens is going to be out for a while.
But you mentioned all that, and obviously the given is Nick Bosa, right? And the expectations for a guy like that and what he could be. If he's a DPOY kind of candidate again this year, Bonte, because that's the potential we're talking about. That's how we view guys like Nick Bosa, guys like TJ Watt, guys like Myles Garrett. DPOY or nothing every single season. That's the expectation for these guys. As you saw the DPOY yesterday, albeit in the secondary, Pat Surtain, who looked the swag personified yesterday. He was feeling himself. He's very good. But what would it mean for this team if we have another all-pro type of a season for Nick Bosa? Are we talking playoffs? Because defense, it comes down to the defensive line and setting the tone there.
Bosa has to set the tone. He's got to get after the quarterback. He's got to be in the top five conversation. And then what I want to see from Nick Bosa this year is not only get sacks, but force turnovers.
Mm.
Strip sack, fumbles.
Yeah.
Go get that ball, Bosa. And he did that. He did that his rookie year. He did that really well. I thought 2021, he came back and was very, very solid in his DPOY year. So, yes, Nick Bosa. The Niners need Nick Bosa to be really, really good.
You know, I forgot how good he looked before he hurt both obliques. He did look really good week two against the Vikings. Yep. Darnold made plays with his legs.
He did.
And Stafford as well made plays with their legs. And I had misremembered how good he actually was in those games, though he didn't come through with big sacks. Mm-hmm. I thought he was relentless.
No, and every time I looked up at the defense yesterday with the binoculars, number 97, so I asked Jennifer Lee Chen, who was watching the defense from NBC Sports Bay Area, how's Bosa? She goes, oh, he was in the backfield all day long. All day long. All day. Yeah, Mike McGlinchey was trying to block him. All day long. YouTube chat also talk about Sebastian Valdez. Remember I was telling you about Sebastian
55.
Valdez? 55.
Montana State. Montana State, right?
Yeah. Are you going to see him on Saturday night?
There we go. We're going to see him tomorrow. I'm curious who else Bonte wants to see tomorrow. Maybe he wants to see some of these starters that are going to start week one tomorrow. So, I'm going to tell you why on the other side, Bonte. I saw starters yesterday for the Cincinnati Bengals that were getting at it. One Joe Burrow and one Ja'Marr Chase were balling. So why can't some of these Niner players do that?